There's lots of factors to consider when picking a geography that you want to invest in. Or if you're a passive investor and a sponsor like us brings you a deal, you'll probably want to know a little bit about the location that the deal is in. So I want to talk about four key factors that we use to determine whether or not we pursue a property to bring to our investors. So here they are. This podcast is sponsored by Perpetual Wealth Capital, helping everyday people just like you invest passively in multifamily assets to produce cash flow and build your wealth. Download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow Through Multifamily Real Estate, by visiting thedefinitiveguidebook.com or clicking the link in the show notes. The first is population and job growth. Now, this seems obvious, but it's a little more in-depth than you would think. So much so that in our next episode, we'll have a short little bonus episode that dives into these two a little bit more. There's also some debate as to which is more important, since these two figures don't always tell the same story. But regardless of which you decide to put more or less weight on, you have to consider these when purchasing. You want to know that people will live in this area and they'll continue to live in this area for years to come. Even if you have a 5-year exit strategy, like a lot of our properties do, when you go and sell that property in 5 years, you don't want job or population growth to look or start to become stagnant, or it'll deter other investors from buying your investment. So look for growth in numbers in these two areas. And when looking at job growth, look at the types of jobs. Do they pay well? Are they in industries that are consistent or growing, or are they very cyclical? We saw, even Las Vegas and Nevada as a whole took a huge hit for COVID because a lot of their jobs are specific in that one industry. Or are these jobs maybe a little bit lower paying, where tenants will need a cheaper place to live, or maybe even have a low income housing offering strategy? Look at what types of jobs are growing there, what industries they're in, and project what type of tenants will be living in your properties. Now, the second is crime rate. Now, there are crime maps that will tell you ratings of crime in the area, but these aren't the end all be all to the true crime in the neighborhood. So here's a few things you need to consider when it comes to crime maps and crime statistics. First, if you're looking at a city level, you'll almost always be scared by the crime rating. All big cities have great areas, okay areas, and terrible areas. For example, if you look at the Phoenix Valley where I live in, you'll see that violent crime and property crime in the city is almost double the national average, which would indicate a terrible place to invest. However, by living here, I can tell you that there are areas in Phoenix that have almost zero issues with crime. So if you're making your judgment solely based on the statistics at a city level, you'll struggle to find quality deals and you'll probably pass up on a lot of great opportunities. The next thing to consider on more granular crime maps, where you'll probably see sometimes darker and lighter shades where crime has been reported, you might see that a property could be in an area that's highlighted a little bit darker, whatever shade of color they're using to indicate, hey, more crime has been reported here. This can also be misleading because on some of these maps, they will count in all police calls, meaning even those overzealous homeowners association nut who calls on the neighbor's garbage cans being more than 3 feet apart, that's going to be counted as a crime, and that's going to contribute to that statistic. Another thing when considering looking at those in-depth crime maps is if there's something nearby that could be causing a lot of those call-ins for crime. A great example of this is if there's a mall nearby where lots of shoplifting can occur. If your property is in the proximity of that mall or is in that same area where they're collecting data, it's going to pull that metric up and look like there's maybe a lot of property crime there or a lot of stealing, but really all of it's happening just in the mall, which wouldn't be that uncommon. Since all the crimes took place in that mall, they fall into that area, and it'll pull that statistic up and make it look like the crime is a lot worse in the neighborhood than it actually is. Now, don't discount crime reports or discount crime maps, but be aware of how they get their data and if there's reasons where the data could be skewed. If possible, what we like to do for all of our investments is go to the properties at different times of the day and night, park outside the property, see who comes in and out, see what kind of people are hanging around. And that's going to be the best way. If that's not possible, though, and you're using these crime maps, just keep these things in mind. Now, the third thing to consider is planned construction. The cost of rent is dictated by supply and demand, just like everything else. So while growth is good, you want to be aware of all the planned construction to be completed in the next few years. I mean, are there 1,000 units being completed in the vacant lot next to yours next year? Will there be enough demand for rentals to fill those 1,000 newer, nicer units and yours? Or will you have to fully renovate your units to compete or offer incentives and move-in incentives or cut your rents down, which are going to cut into your profits? It's not always possible to predict future developments, but be conscious, especially of vacant lots or planned construction nearby that could skew the supply and demand of rentals and impact your bottom line. Now, the fourth thing to consider is, will I cash flow here? Now, the final topic we'll discuss in this episode is, will the location give us a great opportunity to cash flow? Lots of people, and I'm assuming you too, want to invest in real estate for cash flow through monthly rental payments. However, some markets, especially like those coastal areas, California, New York, and even leaking into the Phoenix Valley, might not offer much cash flow opportunities. In some cases, investors who are more concerned with tax benefits of investing in real estate are pushing prices up beyond a price that makes sense for cash flow investors to compete in. Investors like to buy into these areas and cash out purely on appreciation, even if they're breaking even or even losing money throughout the months until they hit that, because they know the area is growing. Again, most commonly in California, here in the Phoenix Valley, we're seeing it now, New York, places like that. Sometimes they'll disregard cash flow, and it's going to be hard for you to be competitive on deals when you're judging the property based on the cash you get every month. If looking into all of these and much, much more seems like more than you want to take on, head over to our website, perpetualwealthcapital.com. Click the button to join our investors club. We'll talk about your goals, what you want to accomplish, and see if we're a good fit to bring you the best passive investment opportunities within the multifamily space. Ones that we've already vetted with all of these metrics and all of the metrics, the granular ones that we get into when determining if a project is right to invest in. We'll handle the deal sourcing, the negotiations, the business plan creation and execution, project the returns, manage the property, all while you collect mailbox money from rents and take part of appreciation, profits, and tax benefits. Again, head over to perpetualwealthcapital.com, click the button to join our investors club, and let's talk soon.